presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProkPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio. WordPress.com.
You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Christians, Jews, Hindus, Buddhists, they don't really differentiate, and that's what we're up against. Now, what's provoked this? The United States, under several presidents, have intervened in the Middle East, in Iraq, Syria, and what happens? We get what's called blowback. Our interventionism, and let me make it very clear, we kill a lot of people, many of them innocent people, and while we initially come as liberators, we are quickly perceived as occupiers, even where we liberate them from Saddam Hussein, who was a Sunni, but he was a secular leader, and he suppressed both Sunnis and Shia. No one is crying over the fact that he was overthrown. But once we intervened, as Secretary of State, former Secretary of State Colin Powell said, if you break it, you own it. And while the United States is very good at winning the war, we're not very good at all in winning the peace. And whether you were for or against the Iraq War, I very much was on the fence. I tend to give the benefit of the doubt to the President of the United States, whoever it is, and the simple reason he usually has a lot more information than the general public has. But mistakes were made, and once we were in there, it took us a long time just to get stability, and unfortunately, President Barack Obama threw all that away by precipitously leaving Iraq. He made it a campaign promise, and he kept his campaign promise. So he got elected partly on his vow to get us out of Iraq. And he asked why he intervened in Afghanistan. And it's where we should have been, in my opinion, getting bin Laden, and we eventually did. What happens? The Taliban is regrouped in Afghanistan, and Al-Qaeda in Iraq, now called the Islamic State, not only regrouped, took territory, and now they're very much on the defensive as what? Well. Iran, the Islamic Republic of Iran, has more or less taken over what? Iraq. Now, I'm not surprised. You see, one of the problems, and I always point this out, the American people and its leaders, they don't know the language, the culture, the history, the religion of the people of the country we invade. So United States or in Europe to do what? To commit acts of terrorism. Now, something I need to address before we get into the details of these terrorist attacks, and I am calling them a radical Islamic terrorist bombing attack, especially those in both New York City and New Jersey, which appear to be linked. We'll find out more, and I need to say this. Usually the details that come out early don't give the entire picture. The FBI and other law enforcement agencies have to do an investigation, and that all takes time. And they're really not going to tell you what's going on, especially in this administration. So what do we do, and how is this playing out politically? Hillary Clinton made a statement today blaming Donald Trump for inciting a war with Islam. I don't think he's doing that at all. This is another one of Hillary Clinton's lies. Donald Trump has made very, very clear that the enemy is the Islamic State. Let's put it in context and show how ridiculous Hillary Clinton's statement is. There are over 1,600 million believers in Islam throughout the world, and they're not all in the Middle East. They're not. And there are two major divisions in terms of Islam. The majority, 80% plus, if you look at the entire world, are Sunnis. Maybe 10% are Shia, and the rest are other sects. And the Shia and the Sunni have been fighting each other for literally centuries. And I don't want any U.S. citizen, any U.S. soldier to be killed, wounded, and money spent trying to recuperate that fight. That's a thankless and frankly useless task that we should avoid. I'm not for further intervention in the Middle East. That doesn't mean we let them get away with attacking U.S. citizens or destroying U.S. property. But our response needs to be measured, focused, and targeted. Donald Trump is not targeting the religion of Islam. Most Americans, including Donald Trump, and I know even Hillary Clinton, know that. But here's the problem. What percentage of that 1,600 million, that's over five times the population of the United States, by the way, which is roughly 320 million. What percentage of that number of 1,600 million are radical Islamic terrorists, jihadists? Jihad means struggle, and there are different types of struggle. The lesser struggle is the militant struggle. They're jihadists are holy warriors. They're engaged in a holy war, and they're trying deliberately to provoke the United States and our allies in Europe and in the Middle East to wage war against them. That's what they want. I've said on this show repeatedly, the Islamic State needs to be destroyed, and the followers need to be killed. They are religious fanatics. They kill anyone that doesn't believe in their ideology or religion, their version of Islam. And their version is militant Salafist. They're not only a minority in the Muslim community, and many in the Muslim community will condemn them. I shouldn't say many. Few will condemn them. But here's the problem. That's rather glossed over. If you actually read the Quran and other documents, you'll find that these militants, Salafists, their version of Islam is well supported. We're considered infidels, non-believers. And we are. And there's a long history of war between Islam and Europe, Christendom, and they're trying to bring that back. They're trying to establish a caliphate. What do you do about it? Now, I've said very simply, Sunni Arabs in Jordan, Saudi Arabia, Egypt must destroy the Islamic State. And they can be assisted by Turks that are also Sunnis. They must take the lead, and they must kill it. They created the monster. They need to put the monster down. And that means going into neighborhoods, going block by block, apartment by apartment, room by room, as well as tunnel by tunnel, and root them out. But it's going to be costly in terms of casualties, fatalities. But that's what needs to be done. It's not our fight. The fight is of the Sunnis in the area. Meanwhile, the Shia, who have no love for Sunnis, are killing Sunnis. Now, the Iraqis are killing Syrians as well as Sunnis in Iraq. That's what I mean. It's difficult to tell each side apart. And no matter whose side you take, if you take any, the other side is going to be against you. The Islamic State would like to overthrow the royal family of Saudi Arabia, as well as Jordan, as well as the military dictatorship in Egypt. They don't tolerate other religions. it's a inescapable consequence of our intervention, first by George Bush, then by Barack Obama. And I think when Donald Trump gets elected, one of his early decisions is to what extent the United States is going to involve itself in the Middle East, in particular Iraq and Syria. I would not commit any ground troops, period. That is the position of Hillary Clinton. Not that I'm for her, but that is her position. But that's not workable, folks. And the United States provided both artillery and aircraft and focused it in early on the Islamic State, or what was formerly al-Qaeda in Iraq. It could have been destroyed. We never should have gotten to this stage. And just to remember, al-Qaeda in Iraq was, for all practical purposes, destroyed. Most of them were killed or either imprisoned and subsequently released. And when we left Iraq, that vacuum eventually was filled by the Islamic State that fled to Syria. Regrouped, retrained, recruited, not only in the immediate area, but worldwide. I give you this background because there are no easy answers here. And before you jump to conclusions or intervene again and again and again, you need to at least have some sense of history and the consequences of that history. We never would have had this massive fleeing from Syria and Iraq, trying to escape from the Assad regime in Syria. That's Ottawa. That are allied with who? The Islamic Republic of Iran. And who is providing military support? Hezbollah, their proxy in Lebanon. Both Iran and Hezbollah are terrorist organizations. Iran, by far, is the leading sponsor of state terrorism. And what did the Barack Obama administration do? It sent back assets, money, of the Iranian people, not of the regime. Of over $150 billion. You don't think some of that is not being used today to fund various terrorist organizations and operations around the world? Yes, it is. And they're backing the Assad regime. But to date, the civil war there has approximately 500,000 people have been killed, and millions have fled, primarily to the Middle East, but some into Europe. And now, at the instigation of the Obama administration and Hillary Clinton, we want to have more refugees from that area. Well, the American people say enough is enough. We don't want you to import people that we cannot totally vouch for their background. And when you're in a war situation, a civil war situation, there's no way to do a background check. That's simply the facts. You shouldn't be welcoming more and more refugees from this area. You should stop it. And that's what Donald Trump is recommending. Totally reasonable to most American people. Lying lunatic left, nor their allies in big law meetings. See, I think if there were a serious attack, and I hope there isn't, but if there is a serious attack where you have many people dying, innocent American citizens dying, whether it's a bomb, whether it's being shot, between now and November 8th, Donald Trump is going to win in a landslide. Because we have polls that routinely ask, what are you concerned about? Number one is jobs. Number two is the economy. Number three is national security. Number four is immigration. The American people are concerned about the invasion of this country by upwards of 30 to 50 million illegal aliens. Many of them come here for one reason only, to get work, jobs. They're fleeing a very bad situation. But the problem is, many of those illegal aliens are criminals. Many are drug dealers. And unfortunately, many are terrorists that set up sleeper cells. So the illegal invasion that the overwhelming majority of American people want stopped because it's a jobs issue, it's a drug issue, it's a crime issue, it's a national security issue. Donald Trump, whether you like him or not, made illegal immigration, or what I call the illegal alien invasion of 30 to 50 million people over the last 15 to 20 years, his number one issue. Compare that and contrast that with who? Both President Obama and Hillary Clinton, who favor open borders. And the reason is very simple. Their goal is to make every illegal alien that is in the United States a citizen of the United States. Because if they can accomplish that goal, they firmly believe they will have enough votes to keep them in control of the House, the Senate, and the presidency for the foreseeable future, and I would say 50 to 100 years. That is the game plan, at least up to now. And then came Donald Trump. He's rising in the polls. He has chief that wants to stop both the illegal alien invasion and to stop refugees that we cannot thoroughly vet from coming to the country. I know that this invasion costs them jobs. Where do we want a commander-in-chief, a president, that has opened the borders and wants to continue the failed policies of Barack Obama, both in the immigration area and in foreign policy? The majority of people do not want a third term for Barack Obama and do not want Hillary Clinton to be the next president. They simply don't trust her, they don't like her, they don't believe her, they want nothing to do with her. That might be news for the supporters of Hillary Clinton. They thought this was going to be a cakewalk and we were going to win, if not by a landslide, by a significant margin. And now the numbers seem to be going the other way. Let me make clear for those that are new listeners, I'm not a Democrat and I'm not a Republican. I've given up on both political parties. For the simple reason, both political parties are big government parties. And they've turned this country into a warfare and welfare state. And their answer to most problems, if not all problems, is another government program, another law, another regulation, another tax, or another intervention, whether domestically or abroad. And this is very much, I won't say our last chance, but our next to last chance to try to turn this around. The two-party tyranny of the Democrat and Republican Party makes it very difficult for anyone to first start a third party and then have a successful third party where you have candidates across the country running for representatives of their districts, senators of their state, and eventually the presidency. It's been going on since the Civil War, and it's had a long run. And governments have gotten bigger and bigger, largely because of war. We get a ratcheting up effect after every war, whether it's World War I, the so-called Great War, World War II, the Korean War, Vietnam, the Iraqi War, both the first and the second. We have become a warfare state, as well as a welfare state, where upwards of half of the citizens are dependent on the government for a check, and that includes Social Security and Medicare. That's the way the progressives of both the Democratic Party and the Republican Party want, so-called career politicians, and we have them in both parties. Their primary objective is to get reelected. They ignore you and me. We have a political elitist establishment that is ignoring the interests, the concerns, the will of the American people. And because of that, Donald Trump got the Republican nomination. It was the only way that the people could get the attention of the elites, and they've gotten the elites' attention. I don't trust Hillary Clinton. You can never vote for her. And if the choice was simply between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, I don't think there's much decision there, folks. And what I mean by that, I think Donald Trump's going to win. And now I would have said a close election. But the Democratic candidate has run a terrible campaign. And in that sense, it's come down to name call. When you cut through all the BS and the smoke, Hillary Clinton as well as Barack Obama, they're just calling Donald Trump names. Well, that won't work for the simple reason they have a record. Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton have a record both domestically and abroad, and it's a disaster. It's a complete failure. The American people know that. Even the people that are hardcore Democrats know it. But they thought they had a lock in the Electoral College. Well, apparently Donald Trump is in the process of picking that lock. Now, I don't take much credence or give much weight to polls, individual polls, because poll numbers go up and down. They're estimates, they're samples, and they're subject to change. And the only poll that really counts is the one on election day. But you need to look at the trends. And I'm not unique in this. If you look at the polls, it's abundantly clear that Donald Trump now has the momentum and is now rising in the polls as Hillary Clinton falls. And she's falling for a number of reasons, one being her health. But today, especially if you live in New York City, New Jersey, Minnesota, you're reconsidering if you were going to vote for Hillary Clinton, whether you're going to vote for her. Because more and more people, whether they like Donald Trump or not, whether they trust him or not, believe he is a leader that would do something about it. And that's what the United States needs. They don't need an impeacher that we have to be in the White House. And we don't need another one that would continue it. No, Donald Trump is not trying to wage war on Islam. That is a bogus, desperate attempt by Hillary Clinton to try to change the so-called story or narrative that's being peddled. Donald Trump has made very clear that the problem is radical Islam. Islamic terrorism. The three words that Democratic candidates, office holders, including the President and Hillary Clinton, won't say. Now, to Hillary Clinton's credit, she has said it one or two times. And I agree you shouldn't jump to conclusions. But when you have a pattern, both in Europe and the United States, of these attacks being those that believe in Islam, in one way or the other, support the Islamic State, I think it's a reasonable premise that needs to be investigated. It's apparent that the one attacker that lived, last I checked, he shot two cops. Both of them, I believe, live, but he was wounded and was in surgery. I have no doubt that he's an Islamic terrorist. Now, whether or not he has a close tie to the Islamic State is not that critical, because what the Islamic State is trying to do is to recruit these people wherever they are. If he can't come to Syria or Iraq, do the attack in your neighborhood. And this guy lived in New Jersey. So we had bombings in New Jersey and in New York City. Not very hard to make the trip. You're probably get on a bus, put the bombs in your luggage, and when you get out of the Port of Authority, take them wherever you're going. Or drive over there in a car or a vehicle, whatever. So New York City, in the Chelsea area, neighborhood of New York City, a bomb went off. Fortunately, although many people were injured, they were not seriously injured. I believe the number is 28 or 29. And today, this morning, police in Linwood, New Jersey, in a shootout, wounded Ahmad Khan Rahamani. I'm not very good at pronouncing these names, but I think it's clear that he's probably missing. And people that know him said he made several trips to Afghanistan, and when he came back, he was a changed person. In other words, he was radicalized. His last known address was living with his father in Elizabeth, New Jersey, and a number of explosives were found in a backpack there Sunday night. It appears that one of the officers was very fortunate. He was struck in the vest. Otherwise, we might have had a seriously wounded, if not dead, police officer. The authorities in New York City do have surveillance videos that show this alleged suspect having a duffel bag near the scene of the bombings in Chelsea, which is a neighborhood in Manhattan. And we have pictures of him. And if you go to my companion blog site, website, which is prompops.wordpress.com, that's prompops, PRONKPOPS, .wordpress.com. Under my photograph, you'll have links to the most recent 62-80 shows. This is show 758. It'll be posted most likely by 10 o'clock this evening. If not, then the first thing in the morning. I have photographs, articles, videos pertaining to the attacks in New Jersey, New York, and Minnesota. And videos show the attacker carrying his bag. I forgot to mention, but you probably heard it on the news, several bombs were placed near a train station in Elizabeth, New Jersey. The town had the police send in a robot to examine the bombs, and one of them blew up, and it was a powerful. If that bomb had gone off, for example, during rush hour, many, many people would be injured if not killed. Fortunately, it looks like most of these attacks are one person, up to now. Doesn't mean one person can't kill a lot of people. They can. We saw that in Florida. We also saw that in France when a guy with a truck killed people. See, it's not necessarily a bomb. It's not necessarily a rifle or a pistol. It can be a truck. It can be a knife. And the gun grabbers are somewhat curiously silent about this one. I think I know why. Because in Minnesota, it was an off-duty police officer that shot and killed the person that knife, in other words, stabbed nine people, not eight, nine. It's been learned there's another person drove himself to the hospital and got treated. So having concealed carry can and does save lives every day across this country. The problem is big law media won't report it. And Hillary Clinton, together with Barack Obama, former Attorney General Eric Holder, and this Attorney General, are very much gun grabbers. They would eliminate the Second Amendment if they could. They know they don't have the votes, but they'll try and try to do it. Why is that important? Why do we have a Second Amendment? We have a Second Amendment not to go hunting, but as a check against tyranny and that's what they usually find themselves doing, voting for the lesser of two evils. And at some point, you got to say, enough is enough. I'm not going to be a party to this. But here's the difficulty. Until you start a viable, successful third party with the objective of getting a majority in the House and the Senate and eventually winning the presidency, you're not going to get fundamental change. You're simply not. What you're going to get is continuation of the status quo. Oh, yes, there'll be changes from a Democratic to a Republican or a Republican to a Democratic president. And then control of the House and the Senate will switch over. But you notice very little has changed. It's gotten worse in the sense that government is out of control, government spending is out of control. Neither party has been capable of balancing the budget. But I'm not going to get into that, but at its core, that's the problem. It's not going to end well. Some future date, some would say as early as 2024. I'm more of the opinion at least sometime between 2030 and 2040 when all the baby boomers retire. And then you're going to see huge deficits. You're already seeing huge deficits. We're only about 11 days away from the end of the fiscal year 2016. It ends on the 30th of September. It'll be roughly towards the end of October before we have a first estimate of what the deficit will be, the actual deficit will be. I think it'll be somewhere between 500 and probably 525 billion. Could be slightly less. The problem, ladies and gentlemen, until Barack Obama, that was simply unheard of. Unheard of. And yes, in the final years of George Bush, the deficits went up to over 400, 450 billion, but who controlled the House and the Senate? People made a change in the 2006 election. The Democrats controlled the House and the Senate in 2007, 8, 9, and 10. People went on to spend again. It cannot continue. Because ultimately, the bills come due. And neither party is up to the job of telling the truth. And over a period of time, truly balancing the budget. They simply can't do it. Because they will not confess to the American people that they screwed up. People are very good blaming others for their failures. Very few people will admit their mistakes. And the American people ultimately are responsible. We made the mistake of electing these people and going on and on and on, either electing the Democratic slate or the Republican Party slate. And now we're approaching a day of reckoning where the debt bomb blows up. When interest rates spike, and the lion's share of the budget will be the interest on the debt. And ultimately, that will result in not a default, higher rates of inflation, which means the purchasing power of your money goes down, down, and down as the general price level goes up, up, and up. And if you're on a fixed income, such as Social Security, that means the value of your Social Security check goes down, down, and down, as does the value of your other assets. And why we're needing to focus on this, what is happening in New York and New Jersey and in Minnesota. We had three terrorist attacks, actually four, of which two or three are the responsibility of a person that was captured in Shem, Rahami, R-A-H-A-M-I. I know I don't like to publicize their name, but we have pictures of him. He's a citizen of the United States, naturalized, came from Afghanistan and went back to Afghanistan, a naturalized U.S. citizen of Afghan descent, lived with his father in Elizabeth, New Jersey. So we had a number of bombings, first one being on the seashore. Fortunately, no one was hurt, but a trash can was blown up. That was in Seaside Park. I live not too far from that area when I lived in New Jersey. So I'm familiar with the beaches there, Long Branch, for example, Sandy Hook. And there was going to be a run supporting the Marines that had to be canceled. And that may or may not have been the target. So in some sense, he did succeed. Then we had the attack in Chelsea. Several other bombs found, and then in Elizabeth, New Jersey, bombs were found at the railroad station. One of them went off, and then going across the country, we had an attacker knifing people in a shopping center in a mall, and 8, 9 were stabbed, and the attacker was shot by an off-duty police officer. In New York City, the police have found another pressure cooker bomb. Did not go off, similar to the one that the two that went off in Boston during the end of the Boston Marathon. A person of average intelligence, if he wants to build a bomb, can go online and find how to do that. They're not necessarily the smartest. succeed in what they were designed to do. They were designed to kill and maim people. And he used ball bearings in the pressure cooker to accomplish it. They're very deadly, folks. And I think if you look at the picture of the bomb going off, that the robot snipped some wires and that triggered the bomb. If anyone had been there or near there, they would be wounded if not killed. So terror has come back to the United States, sad to say. And we'll learn more in the coming days and weeks whether or not they had any links, direct or indirectly, with terrorists in Afghanistan, the Taliban. He probably learned his craft, if you will, when he went back to Afghanistan. That would be my suspicion. It's like going to school, but here you learn how to kill people with bombs or rifles or pistols. That's one way to learn how to do this. Others simply go online, and unfortunately, people get seriously wounded in another attack. I agree that if we have another terrorist attack where people actually are killed as opposed to just being injured, and I don't mean trying to minimize that, I think Donald Trump is definitely going to win, and win big, because the American people have had it up to here with politicians of both parties not dealing with what they see as their concerns: jobs, the economy, the security of our nation, terrorist attacks. So they'll throw the buns out. In this case, the buns are the Democrats and many Republicans. And they'll vote for Trump more in protest. Not that he was their ideal candidate, but it was the only candidate, mainly because of his wealth, that could run against the establishment. If it weren't for Donald Trump, we would have an establishment candidate. I have no doubts about that. No doubts at all. So what do you do about it? Oh, you can go on talk radio, have a talk show, or call into a talk show and talk about it to your heart's content. Does that change anything? I would say very little, if anything. We're not going to have fundamental change until the American people elect representatives, senators, presidents, their local government officials, mayors, sheriffs, their state representatives and senators, and you. Continue voting Democrat and Republican, don't expect much. Yeah, you'll be voting for the lesser of two evils, but the lesser of two evils is still evil. You're not voting for the best candidate, the person with the most integrity, principled politician, someone whose political philosophy agrees with you. I'm a classical liberal. I believe in limited government. Neither Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton believe that. Donald Trump wants a big infrastructure government investment. I'm against that. Not that we don't have infrastructure that should be rebuilt, but that should be the responsibility of the local cities and counties, not the federal government. I've said in past shows, if you look at how the size, the scope, and the role of the federal government has gotten bigger and bigger, there are at least 8 federal departments and at least many agencies and many more programs that could be permanently shut down. Are you hearing any candidate even mentioning that? Do you hear any discussion how either candidate will, over a period of time, balance the budget? You're not. You might hear a little of it in the debates, but I'm not even optimistic there. Instead, what are we talking about? What's Hillary Clinton doing? She's calling Donald Trump a racist and his people deplorables, a basket of deplorables. That's how desperate the Democrats have become. Name-calling is going to get you elected. I don't think so, Mrs. Clinton. I think you're badly served. You have insulted the voters, whether or not they're Donald Trump supporters or not. I know I'm realistic that many people already made up their mind. The so-called true believers, the hardcore Democrats and Republicans. But the dirty little secret that neither party wants to mention is over the years, more and more people have left both parties in disgust. They're tired of being lied to, deceived, distracted, misled. They've said enough is enough. I'm an independent. That's a necessary first step, but it's only a first step. Because invariably, what those people have to do year in, year out, they really have two choices. They can vote for the lesser of two evils, whoever that person is. It could be a Democrat, it could be a Republican, or they stay home. Now a real effort has been made to form a viable, successful third party. Until that happens, and it won't happen, and until independents number more than 50% in terms of their party affiliation, Gallup polls every week polls the American people. And over time, what has happened? More and more people have identified as independent. Now, the number difference in terms of party. They either go back to being Democrats or going back to be Republicans. Until that changes, don't expect fundamental change. Donald Trump is the exception to the rule. He could afford to run his primary without much support from the people. However, there are very few people, including Donald Trump, that are willing to spend upwards of $1 billion, $1,000 million, to run for president. And the reason is very simple. Even if you get elected, and like I said, I think Donald Trump is going to get elected. My only question is, by how much? I don't know. Up until now, I would say it's close. But if Donald Trump's momentum keeps building, it could very well be a landslide, where a landslide is he gets 10% more in the vote than in the next candidate, in this case Hillary Clinton. That seems very remote to me. But you see what happens on January 20th if Donald Trump does take the oath of office. What does he face? He faces the Democratic Party that will oppose him. He faces a Republican leadership. Not everyone in the Republican Party, but the Republican leadership that will oppose him. He faces the bureaucracy that will oppose him. He faces big lie media that will oppose him. And he also faces the most powerful people in the United States and the world, the so-called donor class, the very wealthy that started and own the largest businesses, banks, investment, commercial, real estate, and by politicians. In other words, Donald Trump, even if he gets elected, it is doubtful that he can make but a few changes. There's just too much opposition. That's why you need to get a mandate. You need a landslide victory, Mr. Trump. And you're not going to get a landslide victory by making just the illegal alien invasion your primary program. In other words, building the wall and saying whether you do it or not, deporting the illegal aliens that are here. I seriously don't think you're going to do it, because what you're advocating is what's called touchback amnesty, which simply is not what the American people want. They want these illegal aliens deported and not rewarded. You don't reward crime by sending them home and then say you can apply and get an expedited visa. That's not what the American people want. Oh, I know there are a lot of people that support open border, but if you actually talk and ask the right questions, both the Democrats, Republicans, progressives, liberals, conservatives, libertarians, classical liberals, socialists, communists, they want the invasion of this country stopped and the people here roll back, the invasion roll back. In other words, all they're asking for is immigration law being enforced. And that's what Donald Trump said he will do. Well, I'll take Mr. Trump at his word. If he delivers on his word, I'll vote for him the second time he runs. I'm staying home. And I'm simply staying home. I will support a new party that believes in a constitutional representative republic, one of limited size and scope, one that the American people can afford, not the monstrosity that we have today, that has turned the United States representative republic into a warfare and welfare state, and to a great extent to support an American empire. I can't support that. Doesn't mean I don't believe in a strong national defense, but I don't believe that we should be policemen of the world. I don't think we should intervene in country after country to try to create a democracy or a republic. That is a fool's errand. I'm not an isolationist. I believe in free trade. I want it expanded, but I want to stop sending our sons and daughters into country after country where they're not welcome, and invariably the people of those countries respond by initially throwing rocks and then exploding bombs. And now they're exploding bombs in New York City and New Jersey, where I used to live. And probably more bombs, more terrorist attacks will be coming to a city nearest you. And that is the blowback of the progressives of both parties, Republicans and Democrats, intervening in country after country. Eventually, they come here and take out their revenge on us. And that's what you're saying. And I think this is really the beginning. It's certainly not the end. We have a long way to go. And these are difficult problems with not easy answers, certainly not pat answers. Oh, yes, there's a lot more we could do. But look what was done by President Obama and Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. They have totally destabilized the Middle East and Northern Africa, leading to mass migrations, people fleeing from Syria and Iraq, and they're expediting But there have been estimates of how many radical Islamic terrorist jihadis are out there. Tens, if not hundreds of millions. Let me say that again. Tens, if not hundreds of millions. There's a long line. They're all over the world. And they're attacking in country after country. It's very much a religious war. And they're against people that don't share their faith. They have no tolerance at all of people of other faiths. It must be stopped. It will be stopped. And the American people are looking for a leader to stop it. And in the short term, that'll be Donald Trump. It might be Mike Pence if Donald Trump decides not to run again, which I do support Mike Pence. No one's perfect. We've seen this weekend the blowback, the inescapable consequences of the American empire interventions abroad, primarily in the Middle East. And we have not seen the last of it. I think this is just the first. It will impact this election. And you have to decide, what are you going to do about it? Who are you going to elect as president, commander-in-chief, or are you going to stay home? You must decide. You must act. You can talk about it, and that's what most people do. But until we get a small group of several million actually trying to form a new party, nothing fundamentally is going to change. We're going to have the status quo. And if you don't believe me, what did Mr. Trump propose in his economics plan? The continuation of the income tax. Democrats and Republicans have been messing around with the income tax code since 1913. It should be thrown in the trash. It's inefficient. It's unfair. It's overly complicated. And it's impacting negatively our growth rate. Donald Trump has gone the right direction, but he won't take that step to trash it and go to a broad-based consumption tax that many, many economists recommend. Any different in the details? What are you expecting? Fundamental change from Donald Trump? He won't even discuss how and when he's going to balance the budget. And don't think I'm picking on Donald Trump. Hillary Clinton is worse. She just wants to make government bigger and bigger. More taxes, more regulation. And then another recession, if not depression. Well, on that happy note, let me play America.
Listening to the Prompt Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating